This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Before I start my khutbah, unfortunately, I have to share some reminders that we are not allowed to park in the back alleys. Unfortunately, I have to talk about it. I don't like to talk about parking, but because our neighbors are complaining, they're not happy with it, please do not park in back alleys. And also when you see a sign that is reserved, like someone in the first khutbah, he took my own parking stall and I had to look for a parking. So it's not nice. The imam is coming to lead the Jum'ah and then there is no parking for him and he keeps looking for a parking stall or going around to see if they can find a place. This is not nice, ya ikhwan. Use common sense, wallahi, common sense. Ubadin, be fair. Put your shoes yourself in the shoes of the other person you're taking his parking stall. Number one. Number two, I don't know, but I saw someone playing with his phone during the Jum'ah too. If I'm talking about the first Jum'ah, but it seems like it is happening. It's a common, it's something that happens a lot in our Jum'ah prayers. People playing with their phones, checking their Facebook or email or. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam قال من مس الحصى فقد لغى ومن لغى فلا جمعة له. He said whoever touches the pebbles, you know, in the old days they didn't have these fancy carpets, so the masjid was, you know, they had a ground with pebbles and with dirt. So he said, if someone plays with pebbles in front of him, then he had made a useless action, and the rewards of his Jum'ah will be nullified. You don't have to do it again, but you lose the reward of a Jum'ah prayer. So Allah yahdina wa yuslih halna, ya jama'ah. Allah yahdina wa yuslih halna, because I don't know why when we come to the masjid, we don't respect the rules. We don't follow the rules. But when we go to other places, I'm sure that we follow the rules. And we worry about parking tickets. And we worry about the signs. But we come to the masjid, we don't respect the rules. I don't know why. I'm not saying all, but there is a group of people who are doing this and they affect the reputation of the community. Because people are looking at this place, this is the face of the community, the masjid, right? They don't know about any other schools or, I mean, these are major organizations or institutions in our community, the masjid, our place of worship. It's like our community center. We come here. If we ruin the reputation of the masjid, then the whole community, we're affecting the image of the whole community. And through our behavior, we can guide people and invite them to Islam. Wallahi, there are many people who are interested, calling us. They want to know about Islam. Like every week here in Calgary, we have 3-4 people accepting Islam. And imagine they accept Islam, they come to our masajid and they feel like we're not organized, we don't care about each other. Then they will be shocked, right? That's why we have people who accept Islam and then leave Islam again. Wallahi, this is true. In 2011, I was in UK. The discussion with some people were involved in da'wah. And they said the retention rate is only 40%. I was shocked. That means, yani, among the people who accept Islam, only 40% stay as Muslims. 60% they leave Islam again. Why is that? Now, alhamdulillah, they said the rate is better. Maybe you are becoming more organized. There's more material, more books, more resources available, and they are getting some support. Now new Muslims are getting support from our community. So maybe more people are staying as Muslims, but we still have people who accept Islam, and then they leave Islam again. And ask the question why. I'll leave the answer to you. When someone accepts Islam, becomes Muslim, read the Quran and everything, and then comes to the community and decided to leave again. I don't want to be Muslim anymore. So something that we have to think about, ya akhwan. And I'll leave the answer to you. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwaffiqana li kulli khair. Tomorrow is the day of Arafah. And it is one of the blessed days. It's full. It's a day that is full of blessings. It's packed with blessings. There are some ulama who believe that it could be the best day in the whole year. Other Muslim scholars, they said, no, the day of Nahr, which is the day of Eid. So anyway, they are very close. So we have these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah from 1 to 10. They are the best days in the whole year. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam قال أفضل أيام الدنيا هي أيام العشر. أفضل أيام الدنيا. These are the best days in the whole year. Compare it with Ramadan. Night time in Ramadan is better because they have in Ramadan we have Laylat al-Qadr. But if we are talking about daytime, these are the best days in the whole year. And the best 2 days among these 10 days are the day of Arafah and the day of al-Nahr, which is on Sunday, the day of Eid al-Adha. On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to send a very important message to the community. And this message came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah, on Friday, when he was standing up in Arafah. He received a beautiful message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And this ayah says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waited for this day, the day of Arafah, to tell the Muslim ummah, today I have perfected for you your religion. And I have completed my favors upon you. And I have chosen Islam as a religion for you. And this is the biggest ni'mah, wallahi. Wallahi, the biggest ni'mah is to be a Muslim. Especially if you follow the Quran, you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not following any false ideology. You just follow mainstream Islam and then hoping that you'll be one of the inhabitants of Jannat al-Firdaus. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if you follow the guidance of the Quran and you follow the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you'll spend the rest of your life with the best people in Jannah, in Jannat al-Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. You're happy, you're safe. And it's eternity, because the other option is horrible. The other option, which is Jahannam, nas'al Allah salama wal afiyah, the people who will suffer there forever, and another eternity there. But they will be suffering there. There is no life there, but there is no death. They don't die. Nas'al Allah salama wal afiyah. So the best ni'mah that is given to you is to be a Muslim. It is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us of this great favor, great ni'mah on this day. And the ulama, they said it is a day of forgiveness and freedom from the fire because of a famous hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَيَقُولْ مَاذَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this famous hadith, there is no day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more servants from the punishment of hellfire than the day of Arafah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pleased on that day with the people who will go to Arafah. And then he's so pleased, he's extremely happy with them, with their ibadah, with their achievements, to the extent that he will free a big number of Muslims from the punishment of hellfire. So these people will be going to hellfire, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free them from hellfire, will forgive their sins, because He is pleased on that day. Tomorrow, it's happening tomorrow. He's pleased, He's happy. And then He will be addressing, proudly addressing the angels about the people who will be standing up in Arafah. Yubahi, yubahi bihim al-malaika. Proudly speaking to the angels, يقول ماذا أراد هؤلاء? What do these people seek and desire? And there is no answer. There is no answer because the answer is known. There is nothing to do there. There is no business, no malls, no businesses. Even if you want to buy something, I mean, you can from a truck maybe or something. But there is nothing to do there. People will go there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely happy with their deeds, and then we'll start forgiving the sins of many Muslims, and many Muslims will receive this freedom from the fire. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعتق رقابنا من النار. And on a different hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was talking about the excellence of this day. He said, خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون من قبلي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. هذا الحديث نريد أن نفهمه جيدا. هو هذا الحديث فيه قسمان. القسم الأول خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة. So he said the best دعاء is the دعاء that is made on the day of Arafah. It's not about the ذكر. Because the second part is about the ذكر. It doesn't mean that this ذكر is the best دعاء. It is the best form of dhikr. The hadith saying, this is the best thing, the second part. He said, the best what I have said and the prophets before me is the dhikr of La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Right? But the first part of the hadith is saying that the best supplication, the best dua that you can make in your life is the dua that you make on the day of Arafah. So prepare yourself for tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day of Arafah. Right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a famous hadith also in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, he said, Allah will proudly talk to the angels about the achievements or the ibadat of His servants who come to Arafah during the evening time between Asr and Maghrib. The hadith says between that time, it will be there between 5 to 7, or between 4 to 8, Allahu A'lam. Here it will be morning time, maybe between 9 or 8 to 11, if you are able to take advantage of this time tomorrow. Because tomorrow is a day off. And the ultimate plan, if you want to take advantage of this time tomorrow, the ultimate plan is to plan for to fast on this day. Fast, because Rasulullah said, fasting on this day is an expiation for the sins of 2 years. 2 years. The previous year and the coming year. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to forgive the sins that you did not commit yet because of your fasting on this day, the day of Arafah, which is happening tomorrow. And there are some Muslims who are confused about fasting on Saturday. Don't be confused. The majority, jamaheerul ulama, overwhelming majority of Muslim scholars, they said there is no problem with fasting on Saturday. There is one alim, we respect him, we love him, but he got it wrong on this mas'ala. He said we're not supposed to Saturday. His hadith that he used is weak. And كُلٌ يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ وَيُرَدُ إِلَّا صَاحِبُ الْقَبْرِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. Yani everyone, his opinion can be accepted or rejected except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the jumhur ulama, majority of Muslim scholars, who said it is okay to fast on Saturday if it falls, if it is a day of Arafah, they have also some strong proofs about it. So it is okay to fast tomorrow. It is highly recommended. It is an expiation for the sins of 2 years. This is the first thing. The second thing, if you can come to the masjid and pray with jama'ah and stay till shuruq. We pray in the masajid these days 4:30, and it's only 35 minutes till shuruq. And then after shuruq, you can pray the sunnah to shuruq, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you pray sunnah to shuruq. And if you can wait, because that is the time when the hujjaj are standing up in Arafah, raising their hands and making dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with their ibadat. If you can stay in the masjid and make dua. And you can have a list of your dua. You can tonight prepare your list of duas. Tonight, prepare your list of dua, whatever you want. Jannah, number one. Then make dua for your children, for your family, if you don't have a job. Make dua for your brothers and sisters in Palestine. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you want. But of course, al-akhirah should be on the top of the list. Jannat al-Firdaus should be on the top of the list. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ni wafiqana li kulli khayr. So dhikr and dua, and also sadaqah if you want, and fasting, these are the best deeds that you can do. Tomorrow, Saturday, it's a day of Arafah. It's a great day. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ni wafiqana للعمل الصالح في هذه الأيام المباركة أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفرون إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The next day on Sunday it will be the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, another great day. And Muslims are supposed to come to Salat al-Eid. A small group of Muslim scholars believe that it could be mandatory for Muslims to come for Salat al-Eid. Majority, they said it is highly recommended. Even if it is highly recommended, Rasulullah ﷺ used to emphasize the importance of attending Salat al-Eid and attending the dua, because there are people who pray and leave. They don't attend the khutbah. And the dua is usually made at the end of the khutbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to advise women who are excused, yani they are not supposed to pray, to come to the musalla and witness the dua of the Muslims on that day. From this hadith or this story, we derive the importance of coming to that salat, to Salat al-Eid, and attend Salat al-Eid with Muslims. And there are many places who are offering Salat al-Eid, alhamdulillah, from 7 o'clock till 9, 10, 10 o'clock, different options. We don't have a big place. We don't own a big place in this city of Calgary where we can all get together. It's difficult. But Masajid and different organizations are doing, most of them, Eid prayers in their locations, in their own places. So this is the first thing. The second ibadah, which is another great act of worship, is to offer the qurbani. The Qurbani was the Sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is enough to do one sheep or one goat on behalf of the whole family. I know there is another opinion that says every member of the family who is able to do it, he has to do it on behalf of himself. But you look at the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to do two. One of them, he would say, Allahumma hadha an Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, on behalf of Muhammad and his family alayhi salatu wasalam. Second one, on behalf of any Muslim who was not able. And this is something special. خَاصَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. We cannot do it. Cannot say, يعني, there is no alim who said, no, we are supposed to do it and follow his sunnah and have a second qurbani and do it on behalf of Muslims, the rest of Muslims. That was his choice, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved his choice. Right? He used to do the second qurbani on behalf of any Muslim who was not able to offer qurbani, whether at that time or forever till the day of judgment, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. But that was his choice, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved his practice, right? But the sahaba, the rest of the sahaba, they said we used to have one qurbani, one animal sacrificed on behalf of the whole family. So the head of the family is supposed to do it, right? And you include in your intention those who are living with you. And some ulama, they said, if you have parents who passed away, you are allowed to include them in your intention. You don't have to do a separate qurbani for your parents. You can include them in your niyyah, and that would be accepted bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, if you decide to do it here, not to send it back home, not to send it through relief organizations, you have to pay attention to a few things. The animal has to be healthy. So it cannot be lame, it cannot be blind. It cannot be abnormally thin and sick. It cannot have a disease. So it has to be healthy, the animal. The second point is you have to pay attention to the age of the animal. If it is a lamb, it has to be at least 6 months. Less than 6 months is not accepted. You have to make sure, because if you're dealing with a non-Muslim, Most likely he doesn't know the importance of the age. He doesn't know the importance. So you need to tell him, يعني, our ibadah, our sacrifice will not be accepted if the lamb is less than 6 months. If it is a goat, it has to be at least 1 year. If it is a cattle, like a cow, it has to be at least 2 years. If it is a camel, at least 5 years. We don't have camels, but this is for the sake of knowledge. It has to be at least 5 years old. The timing of this dhabiha, if you are doing it here, it has to happen after Salat al-Eid. We know some of our brothers, I don't know why they do that, they go to the farm here in the city of Calgary before Salat al-Eid, early in the morning, at 6 o'clock, they are in the farm. If they do their dhabiha before Salat, and they don't offer the Salat themselves, and they do it before Salat, then their dhabiha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, is just a meat that you're going to offer to your family. It's not a qurbani anymore. You lose the rewards of a qurbani because it happened before Salat al-Eid. So at least it has to happen, this dhabiha has to take place after your Salat. Now, if you're sending money back home and the people do it there before your Salat, some ulama, they said it is okay as long as the one who is doing it on your behalf, he offers the sacrifice or he does the dhabiha after his own Salat. He would go to Salat al-Eid, and then after Salat al-Eid, this person will offer the dhabiha on your behalf. Then it should be accepted based on the fatwa of some highly qualified scholars. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Of course, to be in the safe side, you tell them do it after you finish your Salat, but it's not convenient all the time. Because most of the countries in the Middle East and our Muslim countries are ahead of us by 7 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, and it's very difficult for them to wait till evening time to do the dhabiha. Most of Muslims like to do it in the first day in the morning after they finish to complete their salat. So anyway, there is a fatwa that says it is permissible for this person to do it on your behalf after he completes his own salat. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ala kulli hal, nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yataqabbala min al-jami'. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ارحم ضعفنا واجبر كسرنا ويسر أمرنا ردنا جميعا إلى كتابك وسنة نبيك عليه الصلاة والسلام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماماً